is Davin's Den.
All right, everybody, we are ready for part two of Davin's Den. Joe has settled in. I gave Pip and Joe their macaroni art, which is exactly what Pip wanted.
I am so excited.
Non-personalized macaroni art. We were having a whole conversation about holiday gifts and gift giving and like traditions and shit.
Yeah, Joe's girl was telling me.
Yeah, it's just like awful shit she's willing to accept. And I'm like, you know what, why even fucking try? I'll just make her arts and crafts. She likes that shit.
He's tormenting me. He's going to make me macaroni art. And I'm like,
not tormenting. I told you it'd be one of your dead cats.
Now you're just being spiteful.
I told you it'd be one of your dead cats.
Oh, my God.
So she can always remember him in macaroni art form. That's personalized. That's caring, Joe.
I don't know if that gift is more shit than creepy. You know, it's like a shitty, creepy gift.
No, it's lovely. She likes personalized gifts. I'm taking the time to create it. And she loves her cats.
You made whiskers out of rigatoni. Very nice.
Elbow macaroni. He was going Ronzoni elbow macaroni. I already had it thought out.
Yeah, but he went angel hair pasta with for the whiskers.
Yeah, I could do that. So, yeah,
look. Break up what kind of pasta you're using.
Absolutely. Makes it even more special. I could get some of the colored ones, you know, like the orange, if it happens to be an orange cat, like the vegetable pasta or the tricolor pasta.
Look at that.
Yeah, see?
All you can make a ginger cat. Yeah, now I'm interested.
Yeah, not such a shitty idea.
You're going to make me macaroni mosaic?
See?
Yeah.
See? Even my shitty gifts.
No, if you want to hear creepy?
Well, yeah, we listen to you every fucking night.
Years ago, my poor first kitty died at my in the house, and we had a house guest, and he was just a morbid weirdo, and he was so obsessed with the fact that the cat who he, you know, got attached to because he was staying with us for a while, but he was so obsessed with the fact that the cat died, we wrapped him up in a towel and we put him in a container until we could bring him to the vet the next day because it happened at night.
What's the point?
The guy opened up the container.
Why are you bringing a dead cat to the vet? Kind of a little after the fact.
Him in Tupperware to keep it preserved. Keep it fresh.
Because they take them and cremate them.
Oh, okay. Why don't you just bury it in the backyard?
Well, because we cremate our cats.
Oh, excuse me.
Well, we do. Oh, you think that's too highfalutin?
Shovel mine into the sewer, but all right.
Wow.
Did you?
Well, there are a couple I buried, but if there was like one that, you know, was one of the ones that we weren't too, you know, that were too popular because we had a lot of cats, you give it a burial at sea in the sewer because it had a sewer at the old house.
That's not
what you're supposed to do.
No. It fucking contaminates the water.
it's contaminated water to begin with.
Right. Yeah, but no. That's why they say
it's
dump
basin.
Not for it's catch, not cat basin. There's a fucking
the neighborhood's fun.
Oh my God!
You were barely raised.
So
no wonder you have such a hard time with right and wrong.
Well, wait, I didn't even get to the crazy thing.
We're aware. We were hoping to move on.
I thought we were smack dab in the middle of it. Why?
Right. The guy opened the plastic bin that my cat was in and opened the towel and took a picture of him.
That's crazy.
I know.
What the fuck?
And then showed me. He didn't stay there much longer.
What a nut.
He was a nut.
Think about it, though. How fucking deranged do you have to be to want to stay with her over a period of time?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. You're deranged enough to stay. However, you're upping it a fucking notch because you're going to open the container, unwrap the thing like it's fucking King Tut, and take a fucking picture of it.
So you respect this man?
It's kind of intrigue and fear mixed in together.
You like this guy. You want to learn more?
No, I don't want him anywhere around
That's
me.
That's intrigue
yeah,
and fear.
Why does saying, it, why does he do this... something respectable like put it in the sewer like a real family?
He's staying chronicling it with fucking photos.
Oh, you didn't,
well, at least
you
always get a good pose. No, they're not moving.
To get the old number two shovel and bury.
You didn't take pictures of the burial, let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Fucking animals. All right. Senator Elizabeth Warren, because she's got nothing better to do, apparently, introduced legislation that would rescind 20 Medals of Honor awards to U.S. soldiers who slaughtered hundreds of Lakota Indians, mostly women and children, in the Wounded Knee Massacre of 1890. Her bill, the Remove the Stain Act, I use that after fucking Thanksgiving dinner, is the Senate version of a bill introduced in the House in June by Democratic Rep. Denny Heck, Paul Cook and Deb Haaland, one of two Native American women in Congress. Warren introduced the bill with Senator Jeff Merkley. Other co-sponsors are Senators Kamala Harris, who has a lot more free time as of today, Ron Wyden, and Patrick Leahy and Bernie Sanders. The horrifying acts of violence against hundreds of Lakota men, women, and children at Wounded Knee should be condemned, not celebrated with medals of honor, Warren said in a statement. The Remove the Stain Act acknowledges a profoundly shameful event in U.S. history. That's why I'm joining my House colleagues in this effort to advance justice and take a step toward righting wrongs against Native peoples. We cannot whitewash or minimize the dark chapters of our history, but instead must remember, reflect, and work to rectify them, Merkley added in a statement. The massacre of innocents could not be farther from heroism, and I hope this bill helps set the record straight. The Medal of Honor is the country's highest military honor. It is awarded in the name of Congress for gallantry beyond the call of duty, not the video game. The National Congress of American Indians and the Cheyenne River Sioux tribe have both passed resolutions calling for the revocation of the medals. Other groups backing the bill include Oglala Sioux Tribe, the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, the Shakobi Meadow Wakantan Sioux Community, the Great Plains Tribal Chairman's Association. Well, that's easier to say.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, but I was going to say something. I probably got to shut your face on it, so I just kept quiet.
You're well trained. the Coalition of Large Tribes, Heartbeat at Wounded Knee, 1890, and the 1890 Wounded Knee Massacre, Descendant Society, Four Directions, the Native Organized Alliance, Vote Vets, Veterans for Peace, Common Defense, Veterans for American Ideals, and the Friends Committee of National Legislation on National Legislation. Congress has rescinded medals of honor before. In 1916, Congress passed legislation to create a board of retired Army officers to review previous medals of honors. Congress has since removed more than 900 recipients from the Medal of Honor. I think it makes a difference that they've done this before.
Yes, mm-hmm. Me too.
That this isn't something, oh, what the hell? We don't do that. Apparently we do.
That was the thing that changed how I was thinking when I hit that line in the article.
You know what? I'm kind of with it. I mean, I think she's got bigger fish to fry at the moment right now, you know, running for office and everything. But you know what? We're massacring women and children, essentially. Not a good fucking look. And these are people that we call citizens. So it's not going to make it go away. But if it can ease some of the pain, and the Native Americans have a very hard life,
very
in
hard.
our country,
yes,
and they were here first. You know what? Again, I don't know if she needs to be doing this right now, but I'm for it. It's fine. The fact that if this was the first one ever, I go, all right, maybe we really got to think about this. But we've done this quite a bit.
Yeah, it seems,
and it doesn't seem like this was very this was brave beyond the call of duty.
Well, I don't know.
It depends, right? And that's a key thing. So basically, I look at it in several different ways here. Number one, I don't know. I think it might be pandering on her end at this juncture.
Well, she's had issues with them,
right? You know, at this juncture to do it. With that being said, you do have a board of retired Army officers to review this. So basically, in the 20 medals of honor that they want revoked, it would need to be reviewed if it was a situation where, in the heat of battle, where you were being attacked, and you were defending your group. I wouldn't rescind the Medal of Honor because you are on the offensive. You were being attacked.
But we were on the offensive on this.
But
by saying the United States.
In each of the situations. If they're looking at the 20. So if you were in, if one of the situations was, is that you were just a soldier defending you and your men as you were being attacked, even though this was, you know, the battle might have been, you know, unwarranted. But in this one scenario of the battle, you were defending your men. Then I wouldn't remove the Medal of Honor because you were defending your men. If you were leading the attack or planning the attack, or, you know, there, then it should be rescinded. So it would have to be reviewed.
Saying even in a cause of action that is unjustified and probably what we call illegal and morally wrong, you're saying you could still find heroism on the side of the
In a situation where you're a soldier just following orders. And
That's what the Nazis said.
Well, but still, in a situation where you were in the heat of battle, where there was an attack coming at you, and you were defending maybe a couple of other wounded soldiers or something like that. In that one scenario out of the battle, I don't think a Medal of Valor should be rescinded. You were just a soldier following your orders. However,
so do you buy that with the Nazis?
In a certain situation, yeah. If it was a situation where there were some German soldiers being attacked. And
right, but that's not why they say they're following orders. When they're marching people off to the death camps, but they're just following orders.
But I understand, but you're giving me two different...
I'm asking you, how far does the following orders argument go? That's what I'm asking.
Well, like I said, when you're marching people into a death camp, if you got a medal for that, no, that's wrong. If you were in this battle and you were the one that was directing some of your soldiers to kill innocent women and children... in the heat of the, that's wrong. That needs to be rescinded. It's a give and take. You'd have to look at each 20 incidences to find out, was it just a soldier following or defending his group of soldiers, or was it somebody on the offensive, slaughtering innocent people? The same way you said if it were a German. If it was a German,
I don't know much about the wounded. But say. The natives are marching along doing what natives do. They're at their place. And the Americans attack. It's an ambush. If they're ambushing, if our army is ambushing, I don't know if you can have a Medal of Honor if we're the aggressors and we're catching people by surprise. You would have to be catching them by surprise if you're getting all these women and children.
In the situation of being the aggressor, back then when it was felt that was the just thing to do, going back over, 170 years, and if you were leading the
I don't think that math's right.
1890.
Correct. Okay, so that's
130.
Yeah, okay, all right, fine. All right.
That's 4 decades amongst friends. And Joe will be handling purchasing orders tomorrow. I hope there's an error in Platsky's favor for you, so you have a job come next year.
Who bought all these elbows? We don't need all these elbows.
We're after our elbows. There's no heading under me saying noted expert. I'm sorry, all right? Give me my opinion. So if the math is a little off, give me a little leeway on this, please. Thank you.
Please. What topics will you be noted expert on so we can have that ready to go?
On this show, it is a fact that we will jump on that dead rabbit like a bunch of circling.
And not only will we jump on that dead rabbit, we'll open it up and take a picture with that dead rabbit. That's what we'll do. Burps open. It's still freshly dead.
So in the 140 years that we said, 130 years. Agreed?
130.
In that 130 years, if you were leading the attack or planning the attack on innocents that were there, that should be rescinded. Mm-hmm. If you were in the back line, and you were starting to get an attack, and your men were under fire, you had a couple of soldiers down, you were trying to keep them alive, and you were being attacked, and you fended them off, then in that one case, I would say a Medal of Honor, because it was battle, you were just doing what you were doing in a defensive situation, protecting some wounded, whatever. Then in that heat of battle, it should not be rescinded. So if she wants to do this, she should have those board of retired military officers review each 20 cases to find out what the exact situation was.
Well, I agree with you in the fact that, you know, you need to know what was the reason, the specific reasoning why it was offered to that person. Like, if they did show valor in a situation where they had to defend their men. However, most of the time, wounded knee is described as a massacre of mostly women and children. And it seems to me in this case, without even having the board look at it, I think that wounded knee was one of the more egregious acts of genocide, along with others that we've committed against the Native American population. And so we really do have to think about how, as Davin said, this is a sort of a way of repairing that relationship in acknowledging that there were wrongs, great wrongs that were committed against an entire race of people in the name of expansion and colonialism. And so we have to think about that. Like, this is not a way of bringing those people back or changing the history, but it is a way of acknowledging that there are things that America has done, just like every country has done, that are there were wrong, and that, you know, we're changing our view towards people. I mean, back in the day, you know, 130 yeah. years ago and prior to that, we didn't look at people of color, like Native Americans or slaves, as equal people, as equally equal humanity as us
right.
nice white people, you
right.
know? And
but
it's like, so we just look at anything that happened to them was like, oh, that's too bad.
I would say, but I would say we are addressing it. We are trying to right the wrong, but I, you
seems
know.
Seems like a way.
There are instances in these 20 medals that should be looked at.
Yeah.
You review it and say, everybody, or review it and say, all right, of the 20, we're rescinding the 17.
Right. Right. Briefly on a tangent. On this, so we seem to all agree on this one. Briefly on a tangent, on a
okay.
on a current event.
All right,
we just had our commander in chief, the president of the United States.
Right.
Navy SEALs. Navy SEAL was turned in by fellow SEALs of his team for posing with a dead 12-year-old combatant. The kid was a combatant, posed with it.
What?
So he was brought up. There was a whole trial and everything. Whatever. Navy SEALs, this was a big story.
I don't remember this.
This just happened.
Ugh.
Navy SEALs, they have a board where they review what they're going to do. So it's kept in-house, kind of like this thing, where
yeah.
you have the military reviewing
yeah.
things. So what was going to happen was they were going to remove the trident, which is, I guess, the badge of the Navy SEALs. You get reviewed by your peers and higher-ups.
Okay.
President Trump, as the commander-in-chief, which he's entitled to do, said, no, you're not going to do that. Pardon this guy, said you're not going to remove this guy's trident. So, putting aside that as commander-in-chief, the president has every right to do this. Should he have done this? Since it seemed like this was a wrong on the battlefield, he was turned in by his own peers, and peers were going to review what was going to happen to this soldier.
I think he was found not guilty.
Of certain things.
Of certain things. Don't yell about the noise. That's from you, stupid.
I didn't text you.
You did the
just
hell
now?
You did? Yeah.
Once. Why no, is it going off twice?
It goes twice. So don't bark at me. That's from you.
Goes twice?
Yeah, goes twice. That's what I was.
I
that's
did
what
it on
telling
the break.
You last week. That's when I got it, and I told you that 2 weeks ago. And you
no,
barked
you
at me again.
That. No, you didn't tell me that 2 weeks ago. You said, "Don't worry about it. It's gonna have." That's the last one, and we're like, "What is he talking about?
Yeah,
is well, he Kreskin?"
No. Yeah,
no. So now you explained it.
That's yeah, I did. I explained it back then.
Because apparently the phone doesn't think you have a fucking memory. let me. Apparently the phone, much like your ex, feels the need to fucking nag.
No, it says I texted you. I said I texted you. It's like, okay, phone,
so,
geez.
So
I just like, hey, tell this asshole to knock it off.
No, I don't call the person calling the asshole. You're always the asshole. You're always the asshole in the equation for leaving the volume on. But so,
even if you leave the volume on, I've tried to turn down the volume. It still goes, for some reason, it goes loud, even if you turn the volume down. I don't know why.
We'll have to fix that. So he wasn't cleared of everything, and regardless, he was going to be reviewed, and he was turned in by his peers and his higher ups within the SEALs. We're a very tight knit community. They have a code of honor,
right?
You know, not everybody gets to be a Navy SEAL.
No,
but the president kind of should. And there's a lot of concern in the military community that now people are not going to have regard for not law and order, but the way the military does things, because they're going to feel like, well, if you because apparently, like, this guy's attorney knows Trump somehow or something.
Wow.
So there was that whole thing. But if you have the right connections, you can get away with what you want, which has never really been the case in the military.
No.
So laying that as all the background, admitting the president can do whatever he wants because he is the commander-in-chief. He has the right to do it. It's not a fucking impeachable offense.
No. It's
but
his right.
Should he have?
I think basically what it was is that he was retired. And to keep the trident, I think, was keeping his benefits and retirement. So I think that was the key thing to have him taken.
But
away.
I mean, when you're brought up on war crimes, and you are found guilty of some of them, not all of them, and when you're brought up on war crimes by your peers, and you are found guilty, do you
deserve?
Right, because you know we're paying for those.
You know what? I don't have a problem with it. Because okay. The enemy is just so despicable.
It's not about the enemy. It's about us.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. We know the enemy's despicable. We don't want to be like the enemy. That's why,
yeah.
That's why. And you got to remember, we build a lot of how our military does things. We've had Sergeant Padula on the show is you have to gain the trust of the locals. And to gain the trust of the local population, you have to be perceived as being held to a higher standard.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes in a higher standard, it's making war kind of difficult in a sense where you had snipers trained in on ISIS or Al Qaeda insurgents, and they could have taken them out, but because there was a cleric there, they told them they had to back off. You got to remember, in
this is posing with a dead 12-year-old. The danger is over. You're talking about in the heat of the battle, trying to save lives, gray areas. What do we do? There's a discussion to be had for that. We're talking about the situation is calm. The combatant's dead. We don't disrespect the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Posing with
when they were alive was trying to just kill you.
Well, we killed them. We got rid of the threat.
One of the things that people found most egregious about Benghazi was that the ambassador was
how they dragged
the ambassador through the streets and they desecrated his dead body.
Yeah.
Now, how is it any different that this 12-year-old, after he's dead, he was a combatant, and it's sickening that they have children fighting their wars for them. But he, now that he's dead, by taking his dead body and parading it around, taking a picture of it, that's desecrating his body just in the same way. Why is it any less egregious?
I would say in Benghazi, they were a threat, and they dragged it through. It was a mob.
The ambassador was never a threat.
Yeah.
They just killed the ambassador himself. They just killed the ambassador.
Yeah, ambassadors aren't threats themselves.
But the point is, what do you do once the body's dead? You know, the ambassador never should have been killed. You can make an argument. There's a 12-year-old trying to kill me. I get it. You got to kill
him. Yeah.
I'm not going to fault you for that.
No.
But the code.
It's their fault for having children.
Apparently, every other Navy SEAL knows, hey, we don't pose with dead bodies. This guy did. And like I said, he was turned in by the people on his team. It's a whole trust thing.
The fact that his fellow soldiers found this so egregious, they had to turn
right.
it in. Because, you know,
these
brothers. Guys have got to be like thick as thieves.
They're
for them to go, oh, we got to do something
about
much. This. It's too much.
Yeah.
I trust their judgment
right.
on this.
So it's kind of like, well, that goes to Joe's point. You're being judged, you know, he's like, well, Elizabeth Warren can do this, but at the end of the day, you're being judged by his peers.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying here. He was, in this case, Gallagher was his name, was going to be judged by his peers, and the president took that away.
Did he kill watermelons and stuff like that? Did he smash watermelons?
All right. Next topic.
you going to throw in for smashing a watermelon? They told
and the kid
people,
got in the way?
People know in the front row. I mean,
the kid got in the way of the watermelon smasher?
All right. School of fools. No more points to be had with this topic. Show me one. Around the rosy bucket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. Shame, shame, shame. School of Fool. All right, this is where a substitute teacher tells a Latino student to speak English here in America. It's hard to hear her. I'm going to play it twice. It's really hard to hear. Play the audio, and then I'll read you the details of the story. Well, I'll do it eventually, apparently. It's really hard to hear.
Sounds like she's getting harassed by cows.
Well, no, they're doing what kids do. Ooh. We saw that on Welcome Back, Cotter. So a substitute teacher in Texas scolded a high school student for talking in Spanish in class, instructing him to speak English because he's in America. The unidentified teacher, who is white, made the demand last week in Socorro High School. Well, I should fucking let you read it. You with the fucking all Spanish stories. Socorro High School in El Paso. Oh, you didn't see her story?
No.
You're supposed to post it, stupid. She did her whole story.
Oh, I probably did see it. I just posted it. I didn't see it.
In El Paso, after she caught junior Carlos Cobian watching soccer on his cell phone in class, according to footage. Speak English, we're in America, the teacher said, prompting groans and jeers from Cobian's classmates. Give me your phone. Moments earlier, the teen, at least she's not fucking him, so hey, we got that going.
There you go.
Well, there's one.
Moments earlier, the teen asked the teacher in Spanish why he was being singled out, as several other students were also using their cell phones, but the educator was seemingly unmoved by Cobian's attempt to engage in any discussion with her. I was shocked, and then I got a little mad, the teen told the station. For her to come to teach at Socorro, being a sub, like 90% of the students here here are Mexican and Latinos. Cobian, who said he considered the teacher comment racist, claims he didn't antagonize her during the interaction. He was later removed from class and questioned by the school's security personnel, but was not disciplined in connection with the incident. She actually tried to say that I pushed her, but I didn't, and some of the videos show that I didn't really push her. It was the first time anyone at the school admonished him for speaking Spanish. The brief exchange remains under investigation by district administrators, according to a statement released by the Socorro Independent School District. Appropriate action per employee code of conduct policies will be taken. A message seeking comment from district officials early Wednesday was not immediately returned. The teacher should be permanently banned from the classroom, according to the League of United Latin American Citizens, which bills itself as the largest Latino organization in the world. Teachers and all school staff are meant to be leaders and mentors to our children, not racists who harbor anti-immigrant sentiments, LULAC National President Domingo Garcia said in a statement. Oh, I said that well. Thank you.
Pat yourself on the old El Baco.
It, like Joe, is abominable that that this institutionalized racism against the Hispanic community in Texas has ended. Oh, this is a tough one. First of all, it's 90% Latino students.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of Spanish spoken. And it's a substitute teacher. Substitutes have no street cred.
No.
Yeah, I know. Since my ex-wife is thinking about being a substitute teacher.
Oh, seriously?
What's she going to substitute for?
Who the fuck knows?
Don't you have to be competent for that? You don't, apparently.
She wrote me, because we were filing up the divorce, and she goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to be, I might be laying out some money to learn to be a substitute teacher.
Don't you just have to fucking look the other way? Isn't that the whole gig?
I don't know.
Dodge some spitballs, call it a day?
I don't know what you have to do nowadays.
No.
But,
is she a college graduate?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, believe me, she used to hang that over my head.
Really?
Even though I was. She graduated from Adelphi with honors. She goes, you just went to Suffolk Community College. Well, I wasn't answering phones at a fruit drink company, stupid.
Wow.
Yeah. That got real. Issues.
That old negativity that I had about 4 years ago.
You didn't even push that shit down. That was like right at the neck, ready to come out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no. Well, I mean, anybody, whenever somebody's like, my education is better than yours, it's like,
You were in my house.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Right. I think that's some BS.
It's a really weird. I mean, it's the population's 90%, and she singled him out.
Well, okay.
I don't think it's racist.
Yes.
It's not. And here's why. Here's the thing. The kid was on the phone, and the whole thing about speaking English is that every ethnic group that has come here has wanted to learn the language to fit in, to get a better opportunity. And the truth is, learning speaking English is the path to better opportunity in this country. It's a school. It's a learning place to get the better opportunity. That's, in this situation, I feel she was correct. Speak English. We speak English. You want to speak English at home?
But it's also the way it was said.
Well,
speak English here in America instead of saying, hey, listen, we're in school. In school, if you say it different, in school, you don't have to add, we're in America. In school here, we all speak English so everybody understands.
Right.
That's what you do.
Or might have phrased it probably. Okay, so she phrased it wrong.
She did phrase it wrong.
There's a couple different things going on here. First of all, he was watching soccer on his phone in the class.
Like we wouldn't have if we had a substitute in phones.
Oh, well, I mean, the thing is that, first of all, if they were actually, if the substitute
They shouldn't have phones
was,
in class, but apparently they can.
Yeah, they shouldn't have phones in class, number one.
And it's,
number two, the kid's not supposed to be watching sports. Right.
But he wasn't
the
only one. Why not reprimand everybody?
If everybody was sitting there, it would be like, give me your phones.
You gotta
pick if you were doing a class.
I think she's a bad substitute teacher. I don't think she should be permanently banned. I think that's a little harsh.
She needs retraining. She needs retraining.
We need to retrain you.
Well, because she doesn't have command over the classroom.
Well, no, most substitutes don't.
I know. I know I was one.
Yeah, okay.
I know.
Oh, you are? Oh, shit.
Oh, yeah. No, I did that. That's hard.
Bribe her with macaroni art.
I tell you,
that's a fucking hard gig. That is like a hell gig. All day long because you have different audiences.
Believe me, Joanne, if she wound up being a substitute teacher, she would explode during the first class.
Oh, no,
she'd be like 30 U's.
Yeah, it would be.
No, she's not stable enough to do substitute teaching. I'm just telling you straight
out.
She's
not stable enough to pet kittens. She's going to run a substitute.
Those poor kittens.
See, that's why I sent you the text earlier today. I asked Joe to punch up some things for the script we're writing. And there it is, Joe. This is why I'm leading. Me and Chip have written the vast majority of it, but I feel this plays to your strength. Yeah. And you just demonstrated it once again.
That's
I think we just had the conversation that you said we'll talk about.
Yeah, right.
That's funny.
Stable enough to pet kittens.
That's great. Well,
not if you're a kitten.
Yeah. No, it's
let me down. Put me down, lady. Jesus Christ! I just want to play with a fucking ball. Leave me alone. Sounds like Beavis when I pick him up.
That's what he's saying, but he's not calling you lady.
I hope. Beavis and now Neo. Yeah.
Well, here's the other thing, though. I mean, she did take a nasty tone with him.
She most certainly did.
And he wasn't speaking, was he? He was watching something on his phone.
I don't know. We don't hear that.
We don't hear the speaking part. So it's
watch baseball. Damn it, you're in America.
She might have
taken a nasty tone because it might have been a situation where enough was enough.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know,
but,
so,
but what
you know.
She was
yeah, but the problem
with
is
that tone.
The problem is, I mean, if enough's enough, you don't go to speak English. We're in America.
Yeah.
Listen, if you don't listen, you're gonna get kicked out of class. Yeah. Her default was speak English because we're in
English.
You got to know that the policy is in the school. Really have to. There's 90% Latino students, so you're probably hearing Spanish all the time.
All day.
So then this substitute teacher is not the one to make that stand.
No, she's not. And that's something that the regular teacher or the administration has to
come from the top down.
Yeah.
That has to come from the school board.
Okay, but say that it is the policy that you're supposed to speak English in class.
All right,
because you know how many, if you took a Spanish class, they'd say you're only allowed to speak Spanish in class. So say that in the other subjects, they said, okay, you're only allowed to speak English in class. So now this teacher has every right to say speak English in class, but you know, you're in America. Now that's where it goes into racist.
She'd be better off if speaking English in class. You're in school,
right?
She'd be better off saying
that you're in America.
Yeah, right. You're in school. We all speak English,
right? And I agree Duck. With I agree with Joe.
Take it.
I agree.
That
with
must be
Joe.
A dirty feeling.
That's why I was choking. I agree with Joe. I've always felt that because other immigrant groups during all the years have come here and we all learned English.
And I've always told you, until we have a national language, people can talk whatever they want. If we make English the national language, then everybody has to learn the language.
Well, no, you can speak the language of your homeland wherever you want, except perhaps in class or
well, that's
doing,
just it. If it's a national
language,
if English is the national language, then your default should be we need to try to speak English.
Right. And
but it's not the national language.
I know. I've always felt
that
it
should
be.
But it's not.
But the thing about it is that it is a, you know, something that you need to further yourself in this country.
Not necessarily. Look, if this whole community is mostly Latino, I mean, we know, and look, in New York, still today, this whole segment's of New York where it's like one sect of people and they're speaking Yiddish or Chinese
right.
or Italian, and they don't need English. Now, you
but,
and I
no,
walk
stay
that, but,
in
but,
that
but,
spot.
But here's the deal. Here's the deal, okay? I deal with more ethnicities in a day that some people deal with in a whole year, okay? And you're on some of the supply houses, and you call up one of the supply houses, the guy calls in, oh, yeah, Joe.
Was that Spanish?
Well, it's my attempt at Spanish, all right? But they'll talk in a...
was that Arabic?
No, that's
Fred Flintstone.
That's Flintstone.
But oh, he's speaking Flintstonian.
They'll talk in the Spanish. You know, blah 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 blah. You know,
Flintstone-yol.
And because they got customers at the counter, because every community that's New York. Every community is different. So blah, you know, they'll talk blah 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 blah. Joe, do you have a half inch copper 45s in stock? Yeah, Miguel, I got blah blah blah. Okay, great. Blah, you know, and or you call
Michael. His name is Michael. We're in America.
No, it's Miguel. No,
we're in America. He doesn't go by Miguel.
You know, his cash is American. So, but then you get, you know, you might speak with the one of the supply houses in Brooklyn, or Park Slope,
mm-hmm.
and they're talking Yiddish. You know, but oh, Joe, do you have this and stuff? So they have their yes, it is their communities, it is their language. But when it's time to do business, something that is putting food on their table, a roof over their head.
But there was no business going on in this class.
They're being groomed.
She was not grooming. If the kids are out on the phone, she's not teaching a lesson. If they're teaching a lesson, now if the teacher's teaching a lesson and kids are disrespectful and speaking Spanish, you might have some. She's already lost control. It's a typical substitute teacher all fucking goofing off.
Yeah, she was out of control of the classroom.
But you don't know what everything that led up to that.
I know that everybody has a bunch of people have their phones out, so she's already lost. Yeah. And she's yelling at him, this one guy, for speaking English. That's what she's yelling at. She's not saying everybody put away your phones. And she said,
Spanish.
What?
For speaking Spanish. She's yelling at him for speaking English.
Minutech.
She's not yelling at everybody to put away the phones.
Right.
She's yelling at him for the language
he's
speaking.
And it's like...
Listen, she fucked up.
Do you not know where you are?
You need to know what the policy is in the school.
True.
Which we don't know. But she just, listen, she shouldn't be banned from teaching again. You just got to call her in the office and go, listen, you can't do that.
Right. Right.
As it is, she's going to the bottom of the sub list for a while.
Well, hopefully when, you know, the teacher promoting groans and jeers from the classmates, hopefully these classmates will learn English and will learn to assimilate into
society. He knows English. The kid knows English. He spoke English.
They might all be bilingual.
Yeah, it seems like they are.
It doesn't mean that they can't use Spanish.
No, it sounds like they're goofing off watching the game with their friends, and Spanish is the language that's probably spoken at home and in the communities, so they're just talking amongst friends. They don't want this Budinsky paying attention.
Right. They don't want her to know what they're talking about. Or it's just easier. There's a couple of ladies at my new day program that speak in Spanish to one another, and it doesn't bother me one bit because they're having a personal conversation. We happen to be in the workplace. But if we're having a meeting, we're all speaking in English. Right.
Well,
so I don't give a damn.
That's the same thing. In the warehouse, you could hear the warehouse and the walkie-talkies to all the guys.
Yeah.
Most of it's in Spanish.
Yeah.
You know, until the time to come in, you know, to... You
right,
know,
so it seems... That's what it's, yeah. it's but, a, it doesn't seem like a lesson was going on.
But
if there was a lesson going on, minus the we're in America, she said, you know, we're doing something, speak English, please.
Right, that would have been fine.
Yeah, but that's not what was going on.
She went into In America...
And she wasn't teaching anything.
No, she wasn't. No.
Well, we don't know that.
Everybody's on their phones. Clearly, she's not teaching anything.
You know, we've all had a substitute teacher. You've seen them try to, in their most gallant effect, to teach, which isn't helping.
Right, and she did not help her cause.
No. She said it the wrong way, but I don't think that she should be
banned from
teaching.
Especially one time when we had
forever.
A substitute teacher, and they were calling names, and she said, "Is Karen here?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I misunderstood. Here, are you Karen?" I go, "Yeah, I had a sex change." Very funny.
You might identify as Karen. My wife goes everywhere. How come everything with you is identify? Every other day, it's identify this, identify that. I don't know.
But I don't know. That's just the new way people express, you know, things.
Identify. Here's my ID.
I identify as a crazy cat lady.
I'm transgender. I have a cock with a question mark. So that's what the ID looks like. It's a cock with a question mark.
I hope he means rooster.
I hope
he means rooster.
That's right. Or the other one with a vagina with a question mark. Take your choice because it's freedom.
What? You're holding up? Because
you're identified. You got to show your ID.
No, it looks more like, want some cock?
Yes.
You know.
Got some cock. Well, that's it. Could also double.
Shall we move on?
I think we better.
See.
So Hasbro bought the toy maker Hasbro bought Death Row Records.
this is crazy.
They acquired the gangster rap label, which counts Shakur and Snoop Dogg among its artists, as part of a bid to grow its stable of family friendly entertainment. The worldwide toy maker announced the $4 billion deal to buy British company Entertainment One, which produces anime kid shows such as Peppa Pig and PJ Masks, but also owns the rap label. Hasbro, who owns the rights to My Little Pony, Monopoly, and Mr. Potato Head, has said the company was looking to expand family brand and television production with the purchase. The acquisition of E1 adds beloved story-led global family brands that deliver strong operating returns to Hasbro's portfolio and provides a pipeline of new brand creation driven...
A pipeline? It's a pipeline.
It's in a pipeline.
I thought you said pipeline.
I didn't hear that. Okay.
Of a new brand creation driven by family-oriented storytelling, Hasbro CEO Brian Goldner said. Though Hasbro was aiming for family-friendly programming, the toy maker...
I'm sorry.
That's segment two. She usually takes the segment three until she loses her shit.
I know, but it's just the family-friendly programming. Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre.
You taught kids football.
Sure.
No, we did. Taught Pee Wee football.
I know. That's very nice.
I don't think you're impressed.
He was also in N.W.A.
Snoop Dogg wasn't in N.W.A.
No,
Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre.
Oh, yeah.
I love N.W.A.
Said.
Yeah, you should not say the first N.
No.
The only N. You probably didn't. Should not say that. What that stands
Leave
for.
Off the first N for savings.
For savings your life. Though Hasbro is aiming for more family-friendly programming, the toy maker ended up with Death Row Records, a division of Entertainment One, purchased in 2013.
Wait a minute. How did this mergers and acquisitions meeting go? We'd like some family-friendly programming. Well, how about Death Row Records? That's what they settled
on. Depends on what family you're talking about. You know?
Manson family.
Seems a little harsh. You're losing all of your street cred tonight. Death Row, which was founded in 1991 by Suge Knight, the DOC, and Dr. Dre, was one of hip-hop's most influential labels, signing some of the biggest names on the West Coast. The iconic label, however, filed for bankruptcy in 2006 after a series of lawsuits and the imprisonment of Suge Knight for holding a man over a balcony. He tried to kill him. It has since changed hands several times, ending up with Entertainment One when it was bought for $280 million, according to Rolling Stone. So we thought, you know, they obviously want to cross-promote and build out these brands, so let's merge some of these things with Death Row Records.
Absolutely.
So what do you got?
All right, so I came up with some new toys for the holidays.
Give me, how many toys you got?
I got 7.
Oh my. All right, give me your first 5.
All right.
Unless you got something else besides toys.
No, I have toys.
Give me toys in the attic. Give me your first 5 toys.
Well, the first, Dr. Dre Potato Head. This little tattooed tater comes with a 40 to spill for your homies and some sick flow. Collect the entire Spuds with Attitude set. Number 2, the companion toy to My Little Pony, My Homie Pony, complete with a sparkly bandana in the color of your favorite gang.
Saddle hangs low.
Number 3, the Snoop Dogg plush toy. Comes with a full set of papers, some chronic, and a little dog has to chill in. Collect the whole dog pound set. And number 4,
you don't get it.
Wait, the Suge Knight Special Edition of Twister comes with its own gun and suggested positions. Like, get down on your knees, fool! And it doesn't look like I'm playing with you! Hasbro Hammer and the whole tool set. Please, Hammer, don't hurt him. I mean, don't hurt him with this realistic hammer. Might require some close parental supervision.
Can't touch this. How many you got?
I got the 2.
All right, give me one.
Okay, first we have a game. Suge Knight Monopoly. Choose from a boombox and
we're getting the voice too, I see.
Yes. It's me, of course. Suge Knight Monopoly. Choose from a boombox, a 9mm Glock, or an Escalade, and hustle your ass around the board taking property and getting paid while looking for that get out of jail free card. Then you got
All right, we'll do that one afterwards. So I have a very similar game to yours. Death Row Records Monopoly.
Oh.
All the classic Monopoly fun with a Death Row twist. You can choose your game piece from a low-riding car, a 40, a joint, a turntable, a goblet of gin and juice, and more. In a Death Row twist, every property you land on could send you directly to jail without passing go. Stay out of jail long enough and you could build crack houses on your properties and suck your community dry. Make enough money and you could pimp out your crib and charge them white bitches $10,000 a pop for the privilege of being in your video and sucking your dick. Death Row Monopoly. Make all that cheddar and tell the man to kiss your black ass.
Can I just add that
you can't.
Wait.
No, you can't. You must go home.
No.
Speak English.
I also had...
You're in the den.
I had the Monopoly Special Edition set in Compton.
Okay.
And it's like you try to get a hold, a head, roll of the dice, and move around the neighborhood. And the new cards say things like, drive by shooting, go directly to the hospital, skip a turn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And give us your last one.
Snoop Dogg.
No, she's got one more.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, no, I don't like that one.
All right.
I'm not gonna.
All right. She don't like it. Imagine what we would think of it.
Really, Snoop. That's like, remember we did that open mic and the guy was there and he goes, "I'm a magician. I eat food and turn it into shit." And then
it was chicken.
God.
He eats chicken and turns it into shit. Then he looks down on the stool and then he looks at this next joke and he shakes his head and he throws it behind his back. And I tell him, I go, I'll pay $10,000 for that piece of paper. I want to see what didn't make it in. I want to see what he looked at and said no.
I know. If he told the other one, what he looked at and said no. Hilarious.
Snoop Dogg Transformer. Cruise around the hizzy in a sweet lowrider, drinking gin and juice, and then hit the motherfucking button and turn that whip into a chronic dispenser, my schnizzle.
My schnizzle indeed.
My schnizzle indeed.
Oh, no.
The drive-by shooting Nerf set by Nerf. Uh-oh, Pip's flapping. This could be a good one. Now you can bust a cap in all your little niggas' asses and not worry about getting your ass beat by moms. Roll up on all the little homies and show them who's running these streets. And never worry about dealing with the pigs. The drive-by shooting set from Nerf will make your ass the king of the turf.
Oh, my God.
What? What? No?
No. I just can't believe you said that.
I saw the Nerf gun. I didn't. Because I was pressed for time. The Nerf 9mm.
All right. The one I wouldn't say, but I'm going to say it.
So we're going to end the bit on something that isn't worthy of making it. That sounds like a great idea.
The tribunal is seated.
We'll be judging whether we're sending medals of honors and Pip's jokes.
Yes.
Well, it was just the newest action figure is G.I. Tupac. He's a famous warrior in the East Coast, West Coast wars. No?
Okay. No, it's fine.
It's okay.
All right. It's fine. I mean, you know, it's just... You know, there was a reason why we didn't want to close with it.
but you kind of insisted
that we would.
So I know.
And here we are.
And here we are.
Should have just fucking buried it in the middle of the other ones, and you would have been fine. Nobody would have said anything.
Well, I could have done it like one of Joe's old cats. Just burial at sea. I could.
It's a little late to dig out of that barrel, dear. I mean, you killed a comedy bit. You really did. Like, you could have buried... You bury the stuff that's not as good in the middle.
The suck in the middle?
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, listen, you're supposed to do 30. You really only have a good 20. So you put in some, like, 10 minutes of filler bullshit. First of all, you went above and beyond.
How so?
Well, you only had to come up with two.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes. But you didn't... you didn't put the filler in the middle and close...
No. I get
she
it.
She closed with filler. Closed that's with what filler. I'm saying. Not only did she close with the filler of her set, after we were already done... After the headline had gone on, she went as the MC who's going to go on and
close
do more.
Close out to, you know, before I tell you to hand your ticket stubs to the door, man.
Yeah. Before we do the raffle, yeah. I got some more jokes, even though the headliner just left the stage.
Let me do a couple of minutes while I validate your parking.
You know what's so funny about when you just had a yoga before? Well, I got some more jokes. How many times has that happened?
Oh, yeah. All right, well, I hope you're proud of yourself, dear.
Welcome to Fart Stories.
I'm an adult.
Barely. All right, let me get the audio of the clip, and then we'll tell you what happened. This is the audio of a live interview between Chris Matthews and Congressman Eric Swalwell.
Chris, so far, the evidence is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election. Chris, so far, the evidence... is uncontradicted that the president used taxpayer dollars to ask the Ukrainians to help him cheat an election.
Okay. Now, I will say, I've watched the video. It did seem like he elevated on the fart. Like, I felt like he kind of like lifted him a little bit. I felt there was a little lifting.
Oh, did you see him move?
I felt like I did, yes.
Fart power.
All right, so
oh my God.
Representative Eric Swalwell seemed to cut the cheese live on national TV, but the cheese, as it turned out, apparently was a studio mug.
Bullshit.
No, Swalwell shit. The California congressman was doing an interview on Monday on MSNBC's Hardball with host Chris Matthews, and while he was going on and on about Ukraine and alleged malfeasance by Donald Trump, something that sounded like a loud, wet fart blasted through the airwaves.
I did this on Hardball.
Does it make a difference what program? Was it better for Fox and Friends on the couch?
Oh, that poor couch. No.
Fucking kill me fucking rises.
That's so funny.
It certainly seemed like flatulence, and Representative Swalwell even paused a moment right afterward. What many viewed as an acknowledgement of the ripped gas. And of course, hashtag Fartgate and hashtag Shartgate soon started to trend everywhere on Twitter. As a result, funny enough, the official Hardball account excused the noise away as someone dragging a coffee mug across the table in the studio, which just happened to get picked up on a mic. Swalwell was ecstatic, quickly using the network's cover as what he described as total exoneration. Very Trump-like, right? And yes, everyone had a good laugh over it. It was the perfect fart. Republicans and Dems alike. It might have been the most uniting thing in a while, actually. And for those looking to go even deeper down the rabbit hole, some have pointed to a theory that the fart would act fart actually came from Matthews. Apparently, there's a history of gas being passed on the show over the years, as one Twitter user dutifully pointed out.
I like the way they put dutifully pointed out. But it was my job to make sure this got out.
No, it's duty. It's TMZ.
I'm doing his duty while he's doing almost duty.
Apparently, he's been saying that Chris Matthews, it was his duty of getting it out.
I got to say, that was not a mug.
That
no,
was
that
not
was
a mug.
I mean, sometimes you can get away. Oh, no, it was me getting off the couch.
That was not a mug.
No.
No.
That's a terrible
thing. That was a fart.
You know what? Sometimes when you get off of a plastic-coated chair or something, it makes terrible noises, like as you move skin against a plastic chair if you're wearing shorts or something. Not, no,
yeah. no.
No, that was not
no
what it was.
There's no plastic furniture in it. I'm not doing it from an Italian house.
But I
so
do.
It's like the, yeah, it's
yeah from an Italian yeah. house. I do find it interesting that the Hardball put out the statement that it was, you know, it was something else, which makes me think that it perhaps was Chris Matthews.
Well, what are they going to say? Yeah, he ripped one. As a matter of fact, he burnt the nostril hairs off the sound man. Yeah.
It's time to play shark ball.
Yeah.
With Chris
yeah, really.
So you don't think it was Swalwell? You think it was Matthews?
It's my theory.
It's not just your theory. A lot of people have that theory.
I know, but
there's
I'm thinking
two people who could be. Unless it's like some tech.
Well, I'm thinking it was him because they went into to bat for him. Why would they do that if they were just like, yeah, a guy came on our show and farted?
Well,
why wouldn't
they just
let it hang there?
Do it for the congressman out of respect.
Perhaps.
Yeah. Why couldn't you hold the fart in? You're on TV.
Like a fart has never snuck out with you? They got a mind of their own.
Especially as you get older.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in what's Swalwell in his 30s, probably 30s, early 40s. Yeah, why couldn't he? Like it was done on purpose, Joe. Like somebody's like, I'm going to make a statement. While I'm making a statement, my ass is going to make a different statement.
Yeah, but you know what? That was a loud fart. Usually, if you feel one's going to be loud, you're on TV.
Yeah, but somebody could have been so into the conversation, they're in the moment, they move, boop, fart escapes. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I understand, like, you know, when people are doing yoga and stuff and getting into weird positions that. That stuff happens, but not when you're just sitting there.
Crunches and sit-ups are a bitch. I mean, I mean, you're just gonna, it's a fart parade.
Oh, yeah.
It is. You know what? In exercise classes like that, if somebody lets it rip, it's like, really, you just have to let it go.
Well, you're supposed to relax.
Yeah. And
breathe in, breathe out.
And you relax all your muscles.
I kind of think it was Swalwell, just because I saw him, like, lift a little.
Really?
Yeah, I felt like I saw him lift a little, but it wasn't a mug.
It was
you
funny.
You if you lift, you're constantly, consciously trying to fart.
No, you know? So, no, you've never had a fart that's so powerful that, it can knock you off your feet? You've never had a burp? They're like, wow, ooh, and it, like, takes your breath away?
Yeah, that's happened, but never, like, a fart that knocked me over.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have a go, wow, that was there was power there.
Now, if it stunk, now, with a fart like that, usually those ones don't stink because all the stink is taken out of making the noise. So
no, I don't think that.
I don't think so.
No, I think it depends what's in the chamber. I mean, if you've got a turd hanging out down there and the air has to go through it, that's going to smell.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes you have your turds hanging out like a fucking conductor on an old fucking train hanging out like the window.
Is it now? Very specific reference.
Like Casey, hanging out your ass like Casey Jones, maybe. If you
People die like Casey Kasem afterwards.
In my family, there was an old guy named Uncle John. I've never met him because he died before.
Did he touch you?
No.
He get a chance at you, huh?
He was dead before I was alive. Right. But apparently my nanny used to say that she would warn us off of doing things because Uncle John got hurt that way or Uncle John lost an arm that way. Or we thought, that poor bastard, he's got nothing left to him.
Yeah,
but
really.
It's like, you know, but he if you hung your arm out the car, she would go, oh, Uncle John lost an arm that way. You better put your arms in the car.
I think Uncle John wound up in that Tupperware container. There was that much of him.
I know.
Uncle John shit his pants that way. You can't just be letting those farts out.
Yeah, really.
I'm just thinking, you know, Uncle John left a turd hanging out of his butt and it just whacked off.
He was brown capping. Wasn't fun.
I've had a fart sneak out and cause quite embarrassment.
In the Chinese restaurant.
No, that didn't sneak out. I crop dusted them.
Oh, man, that's the funniest story.
Yeah, walking past, I'm going, fart, fart, fart. It's on the CD.
That's on our CD, sir. You'll find it at our shows. Come
yes.
on.
Yes. But so we went up to Massachusetts to move my wife's sister in, to move furniture in and everything. So the rooms are pretty empty. And I'm sitting on the floor, and it's a hardwood floor.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's in the room.
Oh no.
This is a perfect storm.
It is a shit storm. Around the perimeter. and a fart snuck out. I didn't know it was there. It was loud.
Oh no!
And nobody say anything, but my wife's like looking at me, and I'm like looking at her like, "Don't you fucking!" I'm just like,
"Don't you name me? Don't you?
Yeah,
don't.
Be cool, man. Be cool.
Yeah. Let it go."
I did.
And then she should let it go.
So yeah, I mean, but yeah, it's like a perfect storm. Like when you got that much cheek and air, and there's no room to absorb it.
Hardwood floor.
I broke it in. It was the first fart in that room under the new ownership.
Well, the senator met the hardball hardwood floor scenario.
So you've never had an embarrassing fart?
Yeah. Sometimes I walk through the office and one gets
sometimes
away.
It's a fucking recurring thing. I said fart. Joe's like, I got a history to tell you about. Go on.
No, it's sometimes, you know, I'll walk through the office and one will sneak out.
Anybody say anything?
No, because I just keep walking and disavow.
Disavow.
Well, like the president after somebody gets hauled away for doubt. Yeah, I barely knew him. Just like, I barely knew that fart.
I don't know the fart.
It was here for a second and I quickly got rid of it. I don't know. That's not a good fart. Never liked that fart.
I never saw the fart.
Never saw the fart.
Never liked the fart either.
But judging from the reaction, it was the perfect fart. Good hey, sound,
clarity,
good depth.
Clarity.
Baritone. Depth. Little hint of odor. Little exhality.
It's perfect fart.
Perfect. Lingered. Maybe a little too long.
Trailed behind me like a green cape I was wearing.
The worst is like when you walk into a room of fart, like somebody.
Oh God! When I was in the fence business, me and the assistant manager, we had to go through the warehouse and something to check on something, and we walked into this fart cloud that this other guy laid out, and it's like we almost fell out. It was like this curtain of fart.
And sometimes it doesn't leave. No. It's like, no, this is my spot now.
No, yeah.
I live here now.
No, I'm a fart.
Scram.
Yeah.
I have gone from gas to solid.
It was god awful.
It's like when a new male lion moves into a territory and is the alpha male. It's the alpha fart. This is all mine now. You're going to have to go downstairs. You're going to have to live in another part of the house. This bedroom is not yours. This is mine. You can open a window. I'm not going out there. Yeah. It's cold.
There was one time I came out of the bathroom, and Joanne goes, "That smells disgusting." I go, "Because it's shit."
And you were both right.
Yeah.
But in your defense, it's the bathroom.
That's
where that's done.
Yeah, it's not like you did that in the kitchen.
No, you do it in the kitchen. It's the problem.
Yeah, but
you know, she's making a nice roast if she cooked, God forbid.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, yeah. And there's something nice on in the oven, and you fucking drop a turd bomb.
Yeah.
You know, all right, she's got a reason to complain.
Yeah.
But the bathroom, that's your place.
That's right.
There was one time when I worked in an office.
Uh-oh.
And I was the receptionist, and there were...
What a reception.
Wait for it.
People are fanning magazines. You got a magazine? You read it? No, I'm going to fan whatever is floating around this room.
Pass it around like a cheap...
The skunk walks in. Hi, I smell the odor. Are you hiring?
No, we already have that. Yeah. That's taken.
What was your line on the CD? Like, oh, is that why a skunk came up to you and asked for an autograph?
Oh, I go, yeah, the band was so bad, skunks are outside asking for autographs.
No, I think we were talking about Pip's feet at the time when you said it on our show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh okay.
All right, so you're recepting.
And there are two offices over my shoulder.
No.
You know,
you keep offices on your shoulder?
Over my shoulder, like
okay.
Behind me.
Gotcha.
And there, you know,
where no office should be.
There, you know, and then there's a long hallway in front of me, and like all the other offices, and everybody's down that hallway. So the reception area is empty. The people that are in the two offices behind
are victims.
Me,
the massacre of that wounded ass.
They're at lunch.
You don't get a Medal of Honor for you know, stink bombing everybody, you know.
No, I know. Well, it wasn't on purpose. I didn't go, yeah, I'm going to crack a rat. All of a sudden, I leaned forward and this toot came out of me. And I was, oh, my God. It wasn't very loud, but it was deadly.
Oh, boy.
And then, just then, Jeffrey, who's in the office over my left shoulder, apparently is not at lunch, and he walks out right into the cloud.
Right into that fart cloud, yeah.
And
we've all done that.
He was not subtle about it. His face twisted to,
he didn't even want to leave you with a shred of dignity.
No.
That's how low on the totem. That's how unattracted to you he was.
Yeah.
Because if he thought you were attracted, like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking play it
now,
cool.
I haven't played
for the other team. He was never going to be attracted.
Well, then he knows an open anus when
he smells one. I'd like to have a game show where you have people crack farts, right? And you have to have dignified people walk through the fart cloud. And if they make a face, they lose. Perfect example, the Queen of England. You know, you have, all right, contestant number one, crackle. All right, Your Highness. You know, oh my, yeah, we got to win it. Because, you know, she's.
I don't think she's going to play, Joe.
Let's say she's on a show. You know, not for nothing. She comes on the show. You know,
and this is more of a stretch than the concept of your game.
I understand, but still, that would be the guy knows the queen, all right, and he got her on a show as a judge, and she has to walk through the fart cloud
and maintain her dignity.
And she's the queen of England. That's what she does. That's her fucking job. And
to walk through the fart cloud. what a shitty job that is.
Literally,
in all the weddings, funerals, wars. You know, and she's seen all of it. She's seen weddings.
Why does she have to have the dignity when you're the one who just farted at the queen? Why does she have to maintain her dignity? You've lost your dignity.
Yeah, but it's the perfect contestant. Thinks of everything, this woman. She's 94 years old. She's seen World War II. She's seen death, Diana, you know, all this other stuff. Her son being a pervert. All that. And she's got to keep a straight face.
Well, that's new.
You know, I know. But still, she's
no,
still,
it's not.
Yeah,
Charles
she's
was.
Still relevant in that. So still, with all that in mind, she sit there very dignified, you know, not even making a face or anything like that. All right, ladies, step up because we're going to give you this fart cloud. Let's see how you work this out. Yeah.
What is that, for sweeps week? Is that when the queen's
could
on?
Could be. I'd watch. Yeah.
I was picturing somebody like Walter Cronkite.
There now the news. Queen Elizabeth walked through a fart cloud and made no face.
No, I was picturing him having to walk through the fart cloud and maintain his dignity.
On this day, President Kennedy... And my face has changed. President Kennedy died because he walked through a fart cloud. Lee Harvey Oswald laid one out. And John Connolly also smelt it too. The president is dead.
Oh, my God.
Right. Okay.
Johnson is being sworn in. He didn't smell the fart cloud.
He was saved.
But there's controversy. And what happened was Lee Harvey Oswald, when he's walking through custody, Jack Ruby actually laid out one. Wasn't a gun, laid out one.
And that's what killed him.
That's what killed Oswald. You people, I know this stuff. This is privileged information.
This is worse than the Magruder film. it was the...
Forward
away
and back.
To lack. That was a foot race. All right. Yeah. Nonetheless, we got there.
Was Kennedy shot? No. Jackie just laid one loose. That's why his head went back.
Well, no, it wasn't Jackie that did that. You did see your hat fly off. That was part of the...
Oh, so at his last moment?
Yeah, when you saw her reach back, she, you know, when she was going over the hood, she wasn't trying to save him. She was trying to get out of the fucking car.
Oh, my God.
Those were in Kennedy's brains. He was vomiting. The smell was so bad.
I'm better off dead than smelling that fart cloud.
Emma, take me out of the... I've given enough. Not ask what you can do for your country. Ask where a clipboard is to cover my nose.
Era.
Oh, my God.
And.
The never-ending history lesson.
And.
Oh, no.
When you go to Kennedy's gravesite in Arlington, see that eternal flame? That's being run by farts.
I thought that was to cover the farts.
No, well, that's that. Thank you. I stand corrected. Thank you.
Somebody lit a match, and they decided, let's just keep this going.
Thank you very much.
We don't want that happening again.
Thank you very much. I stand corrected on that. Thank you.
And the History Channel hasn't snapped you up yet. How is that possible?
Not yet. Not
you know
yet.
What? Because you don't have that wild-ass hair like the ancient alien astronauts guy.
All right. We've done enough. When we come back, we'll do some scamming scammers with Clara Morgan. On the break, we got new music from Gary and Linda with One More Round of Cheer. It's a Christmas tune. And Margot White with Time of Your Life, and you can learn more about them at deucemusic.com.